Welcome to the show. The Omnium Gatherum Music Podcast is designed to be an open conversation of all things musical. Each episode, your hosts put together a playlist of randomly selected songs to discuss, for you to listen to and enjoy in your own time.
Join Matt and I as we review, reminisce, and randomly run our mouths about whatever we want. And we want to hear from you too. We'll have segments that include special guests and listener participation so the conversation never goes stale.
Follow us on social media or pop by the website to learn how to be a part of the show.
And now, let's get it on.
The cult of music.
Yes.
I mean, when did music ever hurt anybody?
Question.
Except for when it's like too loud, I guess.
Yeah, I think they use that in like military tactics. To remove people from an area.
It's a very specific example, though. I feel like that's a misuse. Here's a fun, back to the music subjects.
Yeah.
This one I like. If you had an intro song, what would it be? Like, for example, if you were a wrestler or that, I mean, that's the big first thing that comes to mind when I think of intro music.
Super fabulous and have your own intro music when you walk into a room.
Sure. Like your own marching band comes along with you.
That would be bad. Actually, have t-shirts that have like a little MP3 player in them that you can just like, you know, press a button when you walk into a room and it'll play whatever you put onto it, like whatever you put on the USB.
I would be interested to meet somebody who could pull that off.
Yeah, you could only really pull it off like once or twice. After that, it would really get fucking old. It'd be like, all right, come on, we get it, dude.
Yeah.
You play the final countdown every time you walk into the room. Change the song.
Unless you, changed it up each time. Yeah. Kind of like the guy with the different hats on 30 Rock.
Yes.
Every time. Yes. But so getting back to, I'll pose the question to you. What would your intro song be? Or
are you going to put me on the spot right now?
No, you don't necessarily have to commit to one. Just if you have some ideas or.
I mean, I suppose it would depend on the situation, like what I'm walking into. But I think there's actually there's a song on my list that I think is a really good intro song. That Groove Armada song, Sun Toucher.
Mm.
It's got that like awesome bass line, that really infectious bass line in the beginning. And then after the beat drops, it's like, it's just a head bobber.
Yeah. So you'd go with kind of groovy.
Yeah, I could see it being like used in like a movie intro or some kind of like badass montage. Slow-mo walking scene or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could see that.
So if I had to pick one right now, that's what it'd be.
There was one I remember back in the day, the very first time I heard it. I actually saw the music video along, you know, obviously with the song, that was my first exposure to it. And I believe I think we were both listening to it because this was back in the day in college.
Back at the BSU.
Yeah. But it's the song, Not Falling by Mudvayne,
yes.
For some reason, that song always like where it's just like I stand not falling. I'm like that just seems so like strong and like sort of empowering. Just like here I am,
yeah, like
not
like,
gonna fall
like Elton John's "I'm Still Standing," only metal.
Yeah. Nice. I like that.
That's self-confidence.
Yeah.
I like that track. I remember that. It has an awesome
hard
drum beat.
Yeah. It's got a hard edge to it, but it's also catchy.
Yeah. It's got a bit of a hard. I remember a time when I thought that Mudvayne was like the hardest metal out there. Remember when I first discovered Mudvayne. And then looking back at them now, like, yeah, they are kind of catchy, kind of poppy.
Well, so they've got kind of a groovy side.
Yeah.
Mixed with kind of an edgy side. But they were good at blending the two and writing some hooks to make it.
They won an award.
Yeah.
For Dig, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I remember seeing that on TV. Like they walked up to the stage and accepted their award dressed in like complete white suits with like fake bullet holes in their foreheads and like a bunch of fake blood running down their faces.
Yeah. Back when you could actually shock people.
Yeah, right. People try to pull that off now and be like, oh God, these guys. But yeah, Not Falling. That's a good intro song.
But yeah, I'll have to think of some other good ones because I don't know. There's so many ways you could go with that. Like this kind of dovetails into another topic where music that's been used in movies. I love Jackie Wilson's Higher, I believe is the name of the song.
Your love keeps lifting me.
Yeah.
Keeps on lifting me. Yeah. I don't know if I can sing that legally or not, but.
Been famously used, you know, and obviously in Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
But also at the end of Death to Smoochie.
Yes. I love that movie.
Dance. Yeah.
So good.
They dance around and fly to that song.
Yeah, that would be another good intro song, depending on like I said, depending on the situation. Yeah, so those are like two other random topics that we plan on discussing in later episodes and like further in depth where we have time to sit and think and get like listener feedback as well. Because that's another part of the important part of the show that we wanted to incorporate was having a conversation, not just between the two of us, but like anyone else who wants to listen and contribute.
Yeah, we want people to be collaborators. Collaborators. And, just send us thoughts or if you want to send music for us to check out and then give our thoughts.
Yeah.
We'd love to do that too.
You know, we're going to have whatever segments or things such as bands that don't exist or bands that should exist or, and you know, if these things do exist and we don't know about it and you know about it, then please tell us or make it by any means, make it and send it in and we'll like play it for everybody.
Yeah. Cause we'll talk about genres that we'd like to hear. Maybe it is something that is already out there and we just haven't heard, or it could be something that you decide, yeah, I want to do that. If it's, let's say, maybe even something you don't necessarily think would be that good, but you, it might just be funny to do it. Yeah, we'd love to hear that because it's all about having fun and just sharing ideas.
Yeah, it's a conversation.
Yeah, I feel like talking to other people who are passionate about music is one of the best ways to discover good music.
Yeah, good music.
Or music that makes you feel passionate too.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of one of the examples of a genre that that I would like to hear, not so much in the sense that I would think it would be really good, but just I
like this already.
I think it would be funny.
Yeah.
We talked about this before about dance music, but religious
dance music, pious dance music.
So, well, like club, but spelled CHLUB.
I think it's going to be mispronounced as schlub.
Club, yeah.
That's a tough
but
one.
It's club. And the reason this idea came to me, it just like popped in my head one day of just a 4-on-the-floor beat, you know, just boom, 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 and with just Jesus, 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 yeah. Jesus. I don't know why
that you don't know why Jesus popped into your head all of a sudden. Maybe you need Jesus, Matt. Is that maybe this is a sign from the universe that you need some fucking Jesus in you?
Oh man, I was thinking of some others, like you could just do like God every so often.
God.
Jesus, God. Yeah. Or like
some kind of religious equivalent to bway, bway, bway.
Yeah. Jesus is coming. Something like that. I thought of, it was like, eat my body, drink my blood, eat my body, drink my blood.
Oh, I love it.
I'm like,
it's so sacrilegious, and I love it. But not
is
really,
it though? Because, I
mean, the way we're talking about it, yes. Like, maybe it's just in a non-sacrilegious sense.
Monks, yeah, somebody might take this idea, this little nugget, this kernel of an idea, and think, I could make something out of this, whether it's going to be funny to them or...
Yeah, or maybe that's just the way that they worship.
Yeah.
And that's
to judge.
Yeah, I'm not trying to yuck somebody else's yum.
Right. That's not what we're about.
No, I do want to bring that up. That's going to be an important part of the show, I think, is I don't ever want to insult anybody. I think that everyone should be able to like what they like and not be ashamed of it, you know, because the point is like to make you feel joy or to make you feel something, and shame is not one of those things.
Yeah, no, that's shame is not our game.
No, fuck that noise. Do we curse, cuss, however, whatever you want to fucking call it? I mean, is that gonna, like, I wonder if that's not gonna like keep us off Spotify and shit, right? I suppose we could just bleep it out in editing if we need to.
No, I think of like, yeah, I've heard all kinds of popular podcasts where they cuts up a storm. Yeah, nobody cares.
To put that Tipper Gore warning on the front of it, right? So, yeah, the idea was to, I don't know about like not necessarily weekly or monthly, but like every so often get together and put together a list of songs. That are semi-random. I mean, they don't have to be like completely random. It could be whatever pops out at you while you're listening to the radio or looking through YouTube or whatever's going on in your life. If somebody tells you, hey, I heard this badass song. But to compile a list, the both of us, and share it with you all on platforms like iTunes and Spotify or wherever you can look up music, and then get together and talk about some of those songs.
Right on. Yeah. So I'll jump into one of the songs I wanted to talk about.
Yes.
This band, The Contortionist, from my hometown. Yeah. These guys are cool. When we talk about cover songs at some point, I'm sure I'll bring them up again.
Yeah.
Cause their cover 1979 is great.
Oh, but, yeah. Smashing Pumpkins cover.
Yeah.
They've done a few good covers, I believe. Or what? No, maybe I'm thinking. No, I'm sorry. I actually, this is terrible of me. I think I just confused them with Between the Buried and Me, which they are not. They are not the same band. They're
a little different.
In the same vein. I think I actually saw them together one time, and that might be a source of the confusion. But I actually met them at that show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was outside.
I didn't know that.
Headliners. And, they were really cool dudes.
Yeah, I kind of got that feeling from some of their subject matter. They just seem like they have a social conscience.
Yeah. And they underwent a pretty big change at some point, right? Didn't they change vocalists?
I believe so, because I know that stylistically they changed big time.
Yeah.
From they started out as deathcore, and then... Now I would say it's more like progressive metal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and progressive is a pretty broad term, but
sure.
I definitely think they fall into that category.
Yeah. They incorporate some synthesizers primarily it's a couple of guitars, a bass, drums, and a singer. I think keyboard on a lot of the songs.
Yeah.
So it's a traditional setup for kind of a metal band, except, you know, keyboard is one of those things that has kind of come and gone depending on the era of metal that you're talking about.
Right. And it's I don't know. I feel like it's looked down upon in some scenes, but I think it adds a lot of depth, or it can add a lot of depth, like depending on how you use it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It could add a lot of layers. Not to get too far off subject, but when I saw the band Steppenwolf,
yes,
that was one of my first concerts.
Nice.
John Kay and Steppenwolf. Their organ player, he stole the show. It blew me away because he actually had a solo, extended solo, probably of 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Just him on stage. And I mean, obviously your band has to really respect you to just leave stage and let you right. do your thing.
Right. Especially like an organ or a key player, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that was incredible. But
great first concert.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Cause there was also Foghat and Blue Oyster Cult.
Excellent. That's an excellent lineup, sir.
The 70s just powerhouse.
Yeah. But going back to keys, adding layers to things. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of my favorite things about this band is that there's a lot of layers to it. There's a lot of layers to everything
that
they do.
Yes, I really noticed that the last time I did a listen through of their latest album, because I noticed things I hadn't heard the first couple of times, you know, and it's one of those kind of listens where I know that it's just going to keep giving kind of the more that you really pay attention
things
to
will
what's
keep popping
going
out
on.
At you.
Yeah. So that's cool when a group can make it that layered.
Yeah. That's one of the things I love about them is the juxtaposition of the beautiful and the brutal. Cause I noticed in this track, there's like those, like, the screams are pushed way back in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still pretty, you know?
Yeah.
Like there's like this brutality to the scream and you can tell it's like this really visceral screaming, but it's like, it's pushed back in the background just a little bit and it's kind of ethereal and there's some effects on it. And like the clean vocals are up front. So it makes that nice juxtaposition. It merges those two layers into something completely new and different. And I love it.
Yeah. And I think it really works well with the subject matter of the song, which it's about somebody who's struggling a lot. And basically the
it's called Early Grave, right?
Yeah. I should mention the name of the song. Yeah. Early Grave. So that kind of gives you an idea of what it's about, but it, you know, that it's written from the perspective of somebody who's seeing someone else go through a really tough time and contemplating ending things. And they say that my hope is that you choose to stay. So,
wow.
You know, it's
powerful.
It's very, yeah, it's, I think a very powerful, it was a very moving song when I first heard it. I thought, wow. And I know a lot of people, myself included, who have dealt with depression. So
yeah,
it's, I think important for
it's going around
to
these
know
days.
They're not alone. And there's always somebody out there who cares.
Yeah.
And so if somebody's happens to hear this and they're struggling at this time, then just don't keep it to yourself. Talk to people, you know, reach out because there is always somebody who cares.
Absolutely. Even if you think there's not, there is somebody somewhere. I care. You can call me.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that. But there was another thing in the song. I'm trying to think of what the line was. You're more than. He repeats that several times. And I also, it just kind of gave me the thought that a lot of people don't necessarily kind of realized that we're all connected. I mean, that's what I believe, that every person is connected to everyone else in some.
Right. That's the human condition, right?
Yeah. I guess it's kind of hard to define or really put words to it, unless, you know, some people, for them, it's religion or some form of spirituality, animism, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? But
whatever you want to call it.
It can take all kinds of forms and have all different terms that apply. Just knowing that you're more than you really know. You can't, I think, fully know in your mind. You can have some concept and you can understand that there is something more that, the knowledge isn't really attainable to people. So I think that's kind of an awe-inspiring feeling.
Yeah, I agree. Wow, that was deep.
Yeah, that was a lot from that one song.
So what's next? What else should we talk about here? What should I pick one from my list here?
Yeah.
Let's see. I want to talk about first the Fleetwood Mac song, because I'm pretty sure most people think of Fleetwood Mac and, they hear Stevie Nicks' voice. My favorite Fleetwood Mac was Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac. And I first learned about that era of the band through watching a documentary. I don't remember if it was like VH1 or what exactly the documentary was, but it was talking about their early years during the British blues invasion and how they got started. And Peter Green, apparently Peter Green was up there with like Eric Clapton as far as like guitar skills go. He was an excellent guitar player and he was on the rise. And apparently I don't remember if it was drug induced. I think it was probably drug induced. I mean, based on the time period, probably a lot of LSD involved, but this song is basically about a vision that he had. This green dog came to him in a vision and was like, you need to give up all of your worldly possessions and live a more pious life and live a more like Christ-like life. And he, apparently he started like dressing in like white robes and wearing big crosses on stage. And it was kind of the beginning of a mental breakdown of like the beginnings of mental illness. And I think that's part of what makes this song so interesting is how tense it feels. I feel like you can feel the tension. And I went down a huge rabbit hole of like going back and listening to old recordings of early Fleetwood Mac with Peter Green. And it's fantastic. I love it. I love the British blues stuff.
Yeah, great
stuff.
He had
an amazing voice and he was an amazing guitar player. And it was really sad what happened to him, because after he had that breakdown, I do believe he was institutionalized, because he did. He did give up all his belongings and he was rich. He was a successful musician. And I think he ended up in an institution and just basically having the creativity shocked right out of him.
Yeah, I don't remember as much about what happened to him, other than I don't believe that he ever recovered.
Yeah.
Not like to the extent of being able to have a flourishing career like he once did. So, yeah, it is one of those really sad early rock and roll stories.
Yeah. Don't do drugs, kids.
But another awesome song from that era, which I'm sure we'll talk about again in the covers, is Black Magic Woman.
Yeah, that was another original Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah. So most people think that Santana's version is the original.
No.
But Santana actually covered that.
Yeah.
To me, has to be one of the biggest covers of all time, because I can guarantee you most people have no clue that it's not one of their originals.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's probably Santana's biggest song.
You're right.
Other than some of the stuff they did in the 90s, maybe with when he did Smith. Yeah. Right?
When they had make it real or let's fucking forget about it. That's all I have to say about that song.
I like how you interpreted that.
Thanks.
Nice.
I don't mind that song. If you take out the like all the vocals, I like that song.
Oh yeah, it's got a great backing track to it. Yeah. And the horn section is on point, but
yeah,
some of the lyrics are kind of like, what?
Right, and that was the 90s and the early 2000s. It was, you know, it didn't matter what you were singing about as long as it sounded pretty.
Yeah.
There's a place for that. Like I said, I'm not trying to yuck somebody else's yum. It's not my favorite song, but
that did give me an idea, though, as far as we should talk about songs that have lyrics that are completely different from what the song feels like.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. Or even music that's completely different than what the lyrics are like.
Yeah.
I think I know what you're saying. Like
either way,
like
the vice versa.
The juxtaposition of the incongruous.
Yes, exactly. We like to get fancy here.
Anyway, we digress. What were we talking about?
Songs.
Songs, oh yeah.
So the first song I put on the playlist is called Obsolete, and it's by a band named Astronoid. And it's off their album Air, which I love the entire album. Kind of hard for me to pick a song, actually. But this one I keep coming back to, I think, part of the reason is it was the first one I heard and I was like, I got to hear more of this.
Yeah, it was that first impression
song. Yeah. And it also builds to, it's kind of a long song, I think. Well, let me see how long it is.
It was like six something.
6 minutes.
Yeah, it's just over 6 minutes.
So not like super long, but it you know, it takes some time that it builds.
It's not a radio track for sure.
Right. Unless you could, I think, chop it down and make it into one.
Yeah.
But most stations probably wouldn't play the whole thing.
Which is kind of funny that the song is called Obsolete. Yeah. I feel like longer songs are becoming more obsolete because of that radio time constraint thing. But anyway, you were saying.
It just builds to, I feel like, this absolutely fantastic climax at the end.
Yes, I wrote some notes on this, and I was like, I love the guitar squeals at the end. It has such an epic feel that like just builds and builds.
And I really love the lyrics at the end, too, where it says, you are a shell of a human being, a useless product of technology. And
wow,
some people might hear that and go like, oh, I'm useless. Oh, this is a downer, something. But when I hear that, for me, it's more of like just I probably because it's paired with this such a epic ending. I feel like it's more of like a wake up call where I'm like, oh, yeah, I should go outside.
Yeah, I should not be one of those things.
Yeah.
I see some nature. Be a shell of a human being.
Yeah,
because you're right. I feel personally attacked when I first hear that. because I love technology. I mean, it's, you know, it allows us to do shit like this, but at the same time, I realize how dangerous it can be, and you know, they have a point.
Yeah. And well, I guess if you go back a little further in the song, they say no more ideals, no search for truth. So I think that's what they're getting at is like, if you allow modern technology to just kind of lull you into doing the same thing over and over and never looking for anything, any like truth or using your mind to create, because you can certainly use technology to create or share or
right.
But there's all kinds of great things you can do with it.
The majority of us use it to be comfortable though. And that is.
Yeah. More as of it, like an opiate for the masses.
Right. And that's, it does not It's non-conducive for growth.
Right. I feel like it's okay some of the time. Certainly it's fine to take time to relax, recharge.
Yeah,
rest and relaxation are important parts of life.
Right. And it's okay to take joy in those things, but like it's just important to not let it consume you.
Yeah.
That's what I think the point of the song was anyway. At least from the lyrics. I didn't listen to it like with the lyrics in front of me, but based on what you just said, that's what I'm getting.
I mean, and I'm sure other people could have different interpretations of this because it is one of those where it's the lyrics are not super specific. So they're open enough to, you could have a different interpretation for sure. But that's just, I just really love the ending, especially because of that sort of wake up call. It's kind of a call to action, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, that sort of ties into what we were just saying, how sometimes the words and the feeling of the song are incongruous.
That's what we were talking about. That's the one that got away from us.
Yeah, that can work really well to create a whole other meaning that's kind of somehow the sum is more than the parts, you know?
Yeah.
I love when music can do that, where it's like, they're like, I just thought of Lisa Simpson saying, the notes they don't play are just as important as the ones they do.
I fucking love Lisa Simpson. Lisa Simpson is goals.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of funny. She's like the archetype of what you could be if you applied yourself all the time, right? Right.
Yeah. And yet she gets shit on all the time. So yeah, I wanted to talk about that Tortoise song. Not necessarily that song in particular, but Tortoise as a band, because I discovered them randomly. I think it was through either a drum magazine or like a recording, like an audio recording magazine, like an engineering magazine, because their drummer is also a studio engineer, and the article was talking about, I think, just different technology, different microphones, and things that he used while recording. And that was, you know, both of those things are right up my alley. And I was like, I have to know more about this band, because they're like one of the most unclassifiable bands out there. I've heard them called post-rock, which I don't know what the fuck that means, but they're kind of all over the place. And the drummer, I read about them in a magazine and I looked them up and found out about the band. And then I also found something interesting that the drummer released through Adult Swim, which was an entire album of like just random drum beats that they used as bumps. The album was actually called Bumps. And you know how like in between shows, they would have like the black screen with the white letters. It was just real simple. And they would just have like a beat going in the background. Well, that was the drummer. That was the drummer from Tortoise that created all of those. And I think that was actually what he was talking about in the article, was like how he recorded those different drum beats, because they're all different and random and awesome. I mean, I'm not only an audiophile, but I don't know what you call that, a drumophile. I love anything drums and percussion.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear more of it. One of the songs I wanted to highlight is a track called In Your Heart. The group is A Place to Bury Strangers. So yeah. It sounds like it's probably going to be a metal band, right?
Yeah, I mean, but it sounds very ominous.
Yeah. It's actually more like a modern take on new wave.
Okay. I'm glad you said that, because that's kind of what I was hearing. I felt like I heard notes of like Nine Inch Nails and Joy Division in there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely had like a not quite goth, but sort of punky new wave, but it's mostly done with like heavy reverb, and like I think they probably use guitars, but it's hard to tell exactly how they're making a lot of the sounds.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot of it's distorted and processed and sound. I thought it sounded very industrial.
It's got
like
some
industrial, but like emotional industrial.
Yeah. New wave mixed with industrial.
Yeah.
And it's apparently live, they are incredibly loud.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to actually see them, but this track I heard on the local radio station, the one and only time they played it. it was like 3 a.m. I was driving back from somewhere and just happened to catch this song that they're like, here's this random track that we're never going to, they didn't say they weren't ever going to play it again, but
right.
I found that out because I heard it and I'm like, this is awesome. This is way better than anything else they've played. And why am I not hearing more stuff like this?
Yeah.
But I had to know what it was. So I went to their website and looked through their playlist, had to keep scrolling back. So, cause I was, it stuck in my head for like a week before I actually went to try to figure it out. Well, and it wasn't easy to, it wasn't easy to find. I was like, I'm not even sure how I'm going to search for this. Okay. I got to just look at I know it was on this station, so I'm going to look at their playlist.
Oh, wow. And you can go back that far?
Yeah. Well, luckily you could only go back about a week. And
wow.
It just so happened that I found it.
That's awesome. Thank fucking God for local radio, by the way.
Right. It's the only time they had played it in that week.
Yeah, it's our public radio station gives you a playlist of what they're playing, but I think it's only like three or four songs back as far as you can go to see what they've played.
Huh.
Maybe there's an archive somewhere else that I don't know about, but when you go to the front page of the website, that's what's scrolling there.
Oh, it's scrolling there. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a neat idea, but in your case, going back a week, that was, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was one of those moments that just sort of felt like it was meant to be.
Yeah.
As far as even hearing it in the first place, why, you know, I happened to catch this, like, it's only a 3-minute song.
Yeah, I noticed it was a pretty short track.
It's, pretty straightforward. It comes in strong and it's just kind of a heavy, steady beat throughout.
Yeah. I really liked it. I hadn't heard of A Place to Bury Strangers before this, but I gave it a listen and I really enjoyed it. I'm going to check out more of their stuff.
Yeah. Like I said, they're pretty loud. It's something that I feel like you kind of maybe have to be in the mood for that. But
yeah,
I don't know. This track in particular was, I felt like, man, that's one of those songs where you just captured lightning in a bottle. Yeah. Like they just,
that's a mood right there. Speaking of, let's move on to another song. Let's talk about the Al Boley song. Even though I only know that from The Shining.
But yeah.
Man, that movie had a lot of great music in it and a lot of great like cinematic sound moments as well. But I feel like, so that's where I heard this track from. I never knew this track before the movie, which gives it an immediate haunting effect because of the context. But it's actually a really beautiful old song and it gets stuck in your head. I've had this song stuck in my fucking head since I put this playlist together however many days, a week ago, whatever it was. And just like the melody, it has a very beautiful melody.
It does. It's very well written. Not only lyrically, but like you said, melodically, it does stick with you, I think, because it has sort of a haunting quality to it, even if you...
Even without the context of the movie?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, obviously I can't hear it without...
Right.
Knowing that it was in The Shining, yeah, but
it's hard to separate those two.
I still, you know, I tried to listen to it from the perspective of I just want to hear the song itself, yeah, without thinking of what it's associated with. And it does seem to me to be a little bit haunting, even though it's very beautiful at the same time. So there you go again. Another example of the incongruous.
Yeah. What's next on your list? Because I don't really have much to say about that one. I don't really know. I don't know shit about Al Boley. I love you, Al Boley. I'm sorry. I will
probably he probably passed away. I'm guessing that's a very old song.
I know he's not listening. But any fans of Al Boley, if I'm pronouncing that correctly,
R.I.P.
Yep.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about the band Daikaiju.
Fuck yes.
this is modern surf rock, but to me, these guys transcend that a bit.
Absolutely.
If you ever get the chance to see Daikaiju live, do yourself a favor.
I think I actually missed an opportunity to see them live, which I'm still kicking myself for. But it was at like a local venue over in Louisville. I think it was just like the bar Kaiju, because that was the whole like gimmick was Daikaiju at Kaiju Bar, because Kaiju is like a giant Japanese monster, right? So this bar is like, you know, they've got a theme going on, the Kaiju theme, and I love that that's part of Daikaiju's theme as well, like they're like Kaiju themed surf rock, very big and epic, and like, yeah,
because they wear masks. I think they're probably kabuki masks, if I had to guess. I don't know exactly, but that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah,
something along those lines. And so that alone gives them this sort of eerie presence.
Yeah.
And then they just rock like it straight out the gate, but then they include the audience because they'll walk around.
Yeah.
Last time I saw them, by the end of the show, the drummer was being held up he was in the audience, like he was still on his stool, but people were holding him up on their shoulders. Like I think two guys were holding him up while other people in the audience were holding each one of his drums.
Oh my God. So it was like his drum set was still playing with him.
His drum set was crowd surfing with him. His head was basically touching the ceiling while he continued to play.
That's amazing.
And it was so incredible. They get everybody involved. And if you like, you don't ever want to have to follow them because,
oh yeah,
what would you do after that?
Yeah, they're not an opening band for sure. Never let Daikaiju open for your band. Everyone will be disappointed in you no matter what you do. These guys rock so hard.
I was thinking of it like in terms of if you were just starting out as a stand-up comedian and you happen to be at a decent sized club and in walks Patton Oswalt or someone really well known, and they're just like, oh, he's going to go on, do a set real quick. And then you'll mind if he goes on before you? What?
I quit. I quit music right now.
No, please.
This track was awesome in particular. It sounded to me like an epic chase song.
Yeah, I do. Like it was kind of hard for me to pick a track in particular, just because I like most of what they do, you know, just about kind of on an equal footing.
Right.
But this one does have a nice, just kind of strong, you know, out of the gate start, and they establish that melody really quickly.
Yeah.
Just keeps the energy going.
I love it. I love the masks. I love the personas. They have, I looked up the band members and they don't go by their actual names, right?
Yeah.
I forget what it was. Hold on. I need to pull this up because it was, it was really clever. Yeah. So it's Secret Man on guitar, Blast Man on drums, Ace Man on guitar, and Battle Man on bass.
And one of the shows I saw them, one of the guitar players couldn't be there. So, you know, was it their bass player? Yeah. For some reason, one of the guitar players had to switch over to bass.
Oh, well, that's...
But, you know, he did an awesome job. He's just like, oh, I need to play bass tonight. Okay, no problem.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure. I'll just do that real quick. You fucking dick. I wish I could do that. So it says these guys are from Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah.
Wow.
For some reason, the South kind of had a real, like a little surf rock revival, because I'm pretty sure quite a few bands with that style came from like the Athens, Georgia area.
Yeah.
Where the University of Georgia, I believe, is there.
Yeah.
So that is always an interesting scene to kind of keep your eye on what comes out of there. Cause they've had some really cool, unique stuff. I know some people wanted to move to like Austin. Obviously there's a big music scene there. Or if right. you're really wanting to roll the dice, you take your band to LA. Yeah. But some kind of hipstery people, if you will, or whatever, will go to Athens, Georgia instead.
Yeah. They've produced some real peaches, if you will. But I'm
nice.
So yeah, surf rock revival out of the South. That's interesting. I love the concept of revival music.
If it's given a new twist. Right.
Not just bringing back the same old shit, because you know that's already there.
Yeah. Exactly. It kind of makes me think, like, what's the point if right. it's just going to sound exactly like it did? But this doesn't. This has a heavier feel to it.
Yeah, I noticed it's not just straight surf rock. There's other elements and stuff. It feels, like I said, it feels like a very epic chase song. And you get that even from the title. It's like Escape from, what was the actual...
Nebula M Space Hunter.
Yes, Escape from Nebula M Space Hunter, which is a very long title. Let's talk about Brother Ali real quick.
Okay.
I know you're familiar with Brother Ali, as I actually discovered him through a mutual friend / brother of ours, Matthew Quirk, who introduced me to Atmosphere, first of all, on, you know, and then like, oh, there's this record label Rhymesayers, and there's like these underground hip hop artists and rappers. That was kind of the scene. And I dug it because it wasn't like, it was very different from like mainstream hip hop. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like it had like an edge of like into an intellectualism to it. You know, they weren't like they weren't talking about a lot of the super. Well, I don't want to say superficial stuff. They weren't.
It felt like it was less about having a hook.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more about just saying something about their real life.
Telling a story. Yeah. Being like,
yeah,
being vulnerable and being true and telling like an interesting story, but in a still like a very, I don't know. There's still musical elements to it. And still like there were good hooks, but it wasn't like the whole song wasn't the hook, you know?
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that about it. But Brother Ali is actually an albino Muslim hip hop artist, which is when I first heard that, I was like, that's interesting. I wonder what this dude's about. And I found out real quick and I love it. I love just about everything he's done. He's very matter of fact and very blunt, and very confident with himself and his music. You know, what was that song? Forest Whitaker. He's got a track called Forest Whitaker, talking about loving yourself, because Forest Whitaker is fucking awesome. He is not an attractive dude, but
yeah, not in a traditional sense.
He's not a traditionally attractive dude, but he's an amazing person, and that's like that was the point of the song. But he, you know, he raps about how he's got red eyes and one of them's lazy. you know, he's like an overweight albino guy and people are usually scared of him because of how he looks. But
yeah, that's an interesting angle to talk about your experience of people treat me this way because of how I look. Obviously, a lot of people can relate to that, but his is kind of a more specific example where it's a lot fewer people could relate to that, that specific example, but he talks about it in a way that it's accessible to anybody.
Yeah. And he's real about it. I like that he, you know, talks about real struggles, and this song in particular, Letter from the Government, I thought was kind of like poignant to the times, because there's a lot of political turmoil and struggle and stuff going on right now, and
it's kind of a protest song in a way.
Yeah, he's got a few of those. I thought about putting Uncle Sam Goddamn on there, but I thought that was too easy of a shot.
Well, it's nice to see like a deeper cut maybe from his catalog.
Yeah.
Because I think more people, if they're familiar with his work, would know about the Uncle Sam Goddamn. That one was...
Yeah, there was a music video for it and shit, so...
Yeah.
It automatically had a bigger audience.
Right. It's on YouTube. More people have probably heard of it than if it's just an album cut.
Yeah, and I just love Brother Ali in general. Like I said, just about everything he's put out, I've enjoyed. I like that he toured with a full band.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of hip-hop artists will be like just them and a DJ, or like them and a DJ and a drummer or something, but he had like a drummer and a horn section and like a full band for the, I think, what album was it he was touring for? I think it was the Us album. I was really sad that I couldn't catch any of that, but I was impressed.
I saw him once at the Vogue in Indy.
Nice.
And he did a really awesome set. I mean, the whole thing was cool. He's obviously somebody who cares a lot about his craft.
Yeah.
And, you know, it gave the impression of somebody who tries to make the set as tight and as good as it possibly can be. And there was a point where the band dropped out and it was just him doing a long outro a cappella. Yes. And it was like, the audience was just dead quiet because they just wanted to hear everything he had to say. And soon as he was done, people just erupted like, yes, you know?
Yeah. Cause he's such a passionate person, and you can hear it when he performs. Not even just live, but in the recordings, you know, you can hear it. He definitely makes you feel stuff.
Raw emotion that he's so good at conveying.
And that's what I appreciate about him.
That's what I appreciate about you.
Cool. Well, I think that's probably about enough for today. Any final thoughts on the episode? Anything you want to say?
Yeah, I wanted to thank my buddies JD and Steve for the idea of the celebrity band mashup.
Thanks, JD and Steve. We're going to bring them back.
Right. And I hope to hear people's ideas if anybody can beat Pantera Reed, because really they are the reigning champs.
Right. That's the top runner right now. If you think you can steal the belt from them, bring it. Should mention how can people send in like submissions and stuff? What's our email address? We have a Gmail, right?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't know the answer, but
I'm do. Sure. Actually, it's it is omniumgatherummusica@gmail.com. That's omniumgatherummusica@gmail.com.
Put that to a beat.
You probably could. Yeah. So if you have if you just want to submit ideas for, you know, some of our segments or contribute your own ideas to what we've talked about in the episodes, or if you just want to talk to us, or you want to send us pictures of your cats, whatever.
Send us music.
Yeah. Send us music that you've made or music that you love. omniumgatherummusica@gmail.com. So that was a fun conversation. What do you think you want to talk about next time?
Well, next time, I heard some funny, like, misheard lyrics lately.
Oh, yeah, so misheard lyrics. Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Yeah, exactly. I think that'll be a nice kind of light topic. But I also like to talk about some serious topics, so.
Rad, right on. Well, I think we talked about some good songs this episode, and check out the rest of the songs on the playlist as well. We should tell people how they can find that, by the way. It's on Spotify, right?
Yes, it is. The playlist is set up to be public. I'll just have to copy the link and put it along with the podcast, and should be able to just see it there.
And we're going to have, you know, a playlist that goes along with every episode. We're only going to talk about a selection of the songs because, you know, time.
Just enjoy. Let us know if you want to hear something of a different genre that we may have not really touched on yet.
Yeah. There's a band you want to hear or a song you want to hear, you can always request it. I'm not going to guarantee we're going to play it or put it on the list, but we would love for you to request it. And, you know, even if we don't, we might give you an honorable mention.
Yeah, we will definitely consider any requests.
Absolutely. Okay, well, I guess we should probably wrap it up. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening to us babble on about random shit. I hope you enjoyed yourself, and I hope you will join us next time.
Word. Ramble on.
Ramble on, Ramblers.